Hi, welcome to Math and Musings. I'm Mike O'Connell, creator of Math and Musings, and your host. Stay tuned for 15 minutes of science, politics, news, and opinion. In other words, Math and Musings. Today's date is Friday, March 8th, 2024. That just looks so pleasing. This is Season 4, Episode 10. Franklin, 3-8-24, what do you got there? It's a multiplication problem.
Oh, yeah.
Three times eight is 24. I mean, 24 has got a lot of factors, so
it does.
Presumably this...
They made a whole game about it.
Did they?
Yeah, 24 game.
The 24 game? Is that
yeah,
one
it's a
that
thing.
Is... It's a thing. Okay.
It's a thing.
I want to say...
It has so many factors. They were like, you know what? Let's just make a whole game about this.
I want to say I have heard of this.
Yeah.
And, like, students say to me, Mr. O'Connell, you know about the 24 game? And I have to be reminded every single time about the 24 game. I can't say it and then not describe what the 24 game is. What's the 24 game?
I think it's like, okay, you have a card and there's four numbers on it. And you can, like, add, subtract, multiply, divide. And those four numbers, if you use all of them, will somehow make 24.
Somehow make 24. I like it. There's a similar challenge. Your teacher ever have you do the four fours?
No.
Where you
it
use
sounds familiar, but no.
You use the number four times and see if you can make the result come out every number between you can do it. I mean every number between, you know, 1 and 100. It's like, you know, 4 plus 4 times 4 minus 4. Or 4 divided by 4 minus 4 times 4. Something like that. Now, some of them are trickier than others, and I guess it just
same
goes...
Same with the 24 game. Like, some of them are three, and it's, like, really random numbers.
Could be. Speaking of random, you never know how the show is going to begin. The first 2 minutes of the program, we were talking about something that wasn't even on my cards. Like, I write down a couple things for us to talk about at the top of the show.
And that is what a tangent is.
That's a tangent, yeah. That's a tangent in English class. Not to be confused with a tangent in math class. Did I ever tell you I wanted to call this show Tangents?
I think you have.
But I figured most people wouldn't know the geometry term of what a tangent is. It's a line that is touching a circle in one point.
Well, now I'm not most people.
Yeah. Well, it's just someday when you're compiling my biography, you're just going to have to listen to all the tapes. Everything will be mixed in on every random episode. You'll have it. Anyway, Franklin, I'm glad you're on the show. This is the 10th episode of Season 4. You're at least a dozen in a row or so. I don't think I can ever do a broadcast without you again.
Yeah!
It's officially March. Last Friday, we plugged the fact that it was March. It was March 1st. We talked about the Shamrock Shake. And then, where did we go after school on March 1st?
We went to get the Shamrock Shake.
Went to get the Shamrock Shake from McDonald's. Couldn't wait. To me, I'm going to solicit your opinion on this. Is Shamrock Shake the best, like, fast food milkshake around?
Ooh. It's up there. It's up there. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know there are some things that have a lot, and there'll be, like, Sonic. I know Sonic. Or, like, Shake Shack.
I was going to mention Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Or, like, how do you compare a Shake Shack or a Five Guys, which are, like, $7 milkshakes with, you know, the $3 milkshake McDonald's? It's kind of operating
it's
at another
hard.
Level.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A also.
I feel like they had a good milkshake at one point.
Yeah, they're kind of like a middle ground that's, you know, between a high-end milkshake, if you call it like Shake Shack a high-end milkshake.
$7 is a lot.
Yeah, versus your, you know, McDonald's and Burger King's of the world. But and also, I don't know if it's just only because it comes out every so often that, or like, you know, they take it off the shelves for 11 months of the year. Makes me dream about it more. Now, you had a great idea. Because every time we talk about McDonald's, we talk about handheld pies.
Shamrock pie.
Why is
I
there
need
no
one. Just,
shamrock pie?
It was probably so easy. They just take the milkshake and you put it in the pie. Maybe it's a little bit different, but like...
The one thing McDonald's has not done, and they've owned handheld pies, is have a mint-flavored
pie. Or maybe in December make a peppermint one.
You could have a peppermint pie.
One, but like,
yeah, it was going to be tough to top that holiday one with the holiday
but
magic
I think
custom
a mint one
side.
Would be great.
Could be good. I could even see them going with like a chocolate cookie crust, similar to what they do with the Oreo cookies and cream one.
It could be. Like a Christmas cookie.
Christmas cookie
I guess
could be.
Like a holiday one.
I don't know, more think sugar cookie is that, but you never know.
Yeah.
Now, if there are McDonald's, there could be a McDonald's executives listening to us right now. If next season I see a Shamrock Pie, I'm going to know it started here. I'm gonna want a little honorarium. But anyway, March makes me think of two things. It's Shamrock Shake and basketball.
You've got
college basketball. You got March Madness coming up here. And admittedly, it's like getting to be a little bit embarrassing for me watching kids play this game, like college athletics in general. Because, I mean, let's face it, they're closer to your age than to my age.
It's sad.
When I was a kid, it was the Syracuse Orange Men. Now they are just the Syracuse Orange. And as of this moment, as we're recording this a few days before it airs, like, they're on the bubble as far as making the NCAA tournament. They're okay this year. I would say our local teams are not going to be in, unless they pull off miracles. We got George Mason and Georgetown, unrelated. Of the college teams that you've seen, I think George Mason the most.
They're
kind of mid in a mid conference. Georgetown plays in a big conference, although I hardly recognize the Big East anymore. But they've been kind of struggling this year. I know that your thought every time you go to a college basketball game is, well, what kind of food do they have there? What kind of food? And I know you were at Eagle Bank Arena once.
Oh, right, yeah.
What did they have at Eagle Bank Arena?
They had a patty melt. It was amazing.
Patty melt. Top of the line patty melt at Eagle Bank Arena.
It might have been like the second time I've ever had a patty melt. And now patty melts.
Hooked on patty melts. Yeah. I remember I was even like frying up some onions at home, like branching out farther than I would expect you, a young person, to get into like a fancy burger.
Yeah, it was good. The bread was like really buttered, like really buttered.
It reminded me of the Bojangles sweet potato pie casing.
Exactly,
it's like
it was.
You just toss the thing in a deep fryer. Yeah, what are they deep frying the hamburgers at Eagle Bank Arena? But anyway, what are you looking at there? We're looking at rankings.
They're 1 point below.
It's some formula to come up with a ranking system. So
yeah, but
as opposed to
it
just
is, they're one less.
Humans voting. I see that. Yeah.
It's sad.
I'm going to date the episode now. Purdue with the 1460 and UConn with the 1459 as far as their points in the AP rankings. I will admit, I don't have the exact formula for how those things are figured.
No,
I can look at this, though. Now, UConn's the exception because they've been winning. They've got, I think, 5 championships in the last 25 years or so. The rest of the top 5, Houston, Purdue, Tennessee, Marquette, I mean, those are teams that are new-ish. They're from big conferences. Now, when I think about college basketball, it's like it doesn't change that much. Because look at 6 through 10. It's, you know, Arizona, Kansas, Iowa State, kind of. But North Carolina, Duke. I mean, between Arizona, Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, those are the blue bloods of college basketball. It's like what has changed from when I was a kid? It's the same teams winning every time. But I always get excited around March. We're getting to see some March Madness. Franklin, do you remember your first March Madness tournament? You do not?
No.
Because you were only a few days old.
Yeah.
Actually, okay, so let me roll you back to 2014. You probably don't remember this because you were only a few days old. Now, when I was a kid, the tournament had 64 teams. Mm-hmm. Then they moved it up to 65. They had a play-in game, and now there's 68. Those first 4 teams in play for the right to be in like the real tournament. Those games are played in Dayton. Your first college basketball experience, and really like the first party you ever hosted, was at our former address, and you, me, and Mommy, and your grandparents came over. They brought over a Costco pizza, and we enjoyed, how classic Franklin O'Connell, to be Costco pizza, watching basketball.
Costco pizza is so good.
Costco's pizza is good. We got the to-go version having...
We usually
underrated.
Underrated, yeah. But yet also just eat it there.
Yeah.
Usually.
Well, the slices are cut bigger if you're eating it there. Then again, you're when you're at home, you can have as many as you want. So anyway, and I remember that watching. It was like the first time we had people over for like an event. You were, you know, 2 weeks old or so. And watching those early games. That has been That has been my entire life. The last, I think this is about 35 years in it. From 1989 was the first time I was paying attention to this stuff. So they're coming up. Let's see. Selection Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. It's March 17th. First four games are Tuesday and Wednesday. That's the 19th and 20th. And the real tournament starts on the 21st. I'll be, if USA Today is still printing a paper copy of the what newspaper.
The newspaper.
Yeah. You know what a newspaper is?
Is that like, do they like print out the...
Yeah, it's like a news feed, except they put it on a piece of paper.
I guess that makes sense.
It doesn't update. Yeah, once you print it out, it's there.
That's annoying.
For the last 30-plus years, I've been getting a copy. They used to have this huge, like, thick section, like, special edition printed. They have all the, you know, they call them the capsules, the reviews of the teams and everything. And I always look forward to getting that. Like, someday... There's going to be no more print editions of that paper, and I'm going to think, okay, this is the beginning of the end right here when they're not printing the USA Today on the day after the brackets come out, or sometimes it's 2 days after the brackets come out. Anyway, big sponsor of the NCAA tournament is this company. Now, let me give you a little bit of the history of the company. It was a former dairy farmer and shipping foreman for Milton S. Hershey, whom you may recognize the name there.
Hershey.
So... there was a gentleman who worked for Hershey. He left his job with Hershey to start his own candy business in 1923. His name was H.B. Reese. You may recognize the name Reese. A few years after he started his own company, he created this item called the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. They originally called Penny Cups because they sold for a penny. Delicious blend of chocolate and peanut butter.
True. It is pretty good.
It was like a few decades later, I guess after Mr. Reese had died, his sons, he had six sons, according to the Wikipedia article about Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, true source of information on the internet, and that they merged back with the Hershey Company. So now it's like they went back. I have, because we talked about this before, what was the funniest commercial I thought at the Super Bowl?
The big cup.
The big cup caramel.
Oh,
I have.
Yeah.
Here we go. Now we're hitting it to 12 minutes here because this always gets cut off at the end of the program. I wanted us to do like a true taste test here in like classic like YouTube Shorts fashion here, doing a taste test. So yep, this is always great audio. Yep, this is the Reese's Big Cup caramel.
It's on like a plate.
Well, they do it for you. Yeah. This is classy. Mine has like a bullet hole in it. How did that happen? That was fun. Big cup caramel. So we're gonna taste this here. Cheers. Cheers to March Madness.
It is big though.
Because if you don't patronize the sponsors, it's like you're stealing the product.
Oh.
You're actually a big boy. Oh my god. All right, give me a review here. Review on the spot.
You got chocolate on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And the caramel on the bottom. I guess it's...
Yeah.
And like, the caramel layer is actually really
thick. The picture, the caramel is only like 10%.
It's actually like 50.
It's like 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I like it. If anything, Reese's quote-unquote peanut butter cups, my complaint over the years has been, it's not really peanut butter. I mean, open a jar of peanut butter and then look at this. It's not the same thing. Like, have your grandmother make you some homemade... peanut butter cup sometime. You'll see what a peanut butter cup is supposed to look like. I guess it's they need it to put the preservatives in there and such so it stays good. This is top of the line.
Yeah.
It's one of the two items. Now, the Reese's company, they've come out with a million different variations of Reese's over the years. Like, other than the size, they've got, all right, caramel. They put in potato chips in the thing. The Reese's puffs inside the things. They had like peanut butter. They had like banana in there at one point. They had honey and hazelnut and potato chips. There have been so many different versions of these over the years. Chocolate lovers, peanut butter lovers, the big cup, the half pound cup, the king size, miniatures, the thins, sugar free. What a joke. Anyway, the only time they've ever improved was I like the white chocolate ones.
Take five.
And take five? Yeah, well, it's not a cup, though. I agree with you there. And, like, the different things, because you bring up a good point there with the take five was a related one. Oh, because that more things.
I think
Reese's Pieces, like, or Nut Rage, just like, how do you compare those things?
I think Reese Reese's Pieces is not a cup. Reese's Pieces is his own thing.
Reese's.
I like the packaging with like the caramel on top.
It's
like,
that's cool. And to me, this one tops it. They've had so many different ones that over the years I've thought, this is almost as good as the original. This one, though, this tops the original. Not 95 years later. They're topping the original.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I thought
it's just an addition.
The white chocolate and then this one with the caramel. Because I'm willing to trade a little bit of peanut butter or whatever that is on the inside caramel.
I think it's like a 70-30.
70-30 is your percent?
A little bit more, like 30% caramel.
And I like some of the shapes, like the eggs or the Christmas trees, that they have more peanut butter in there compared to the chocolate.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's
it's all about the ratios. It's all about the ratios. And it's all about enjoying basketball and snacks with your friends. Hey, remember that time you found $20 on the ground at an arena?
I do.
Yeah.
I do remember.
And somehow I still had to pay for the Dippin' Dots. I don't know how that worked out. But
I paid you later.
Anyway, you pay me later, you'll get all my money someday. Don't worry. Check out franklinsfoodreview.com, or for more information or to contact, go to mikeoconnelljr.com.